Here are the two most important things you need to know about the rest of the Rockets season, 25 games to go. Number one, they need Chris Paul to approach the guy that he has been and was last season. Number two, their defense is 25th in the NBA. That's dreadful. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, well, they were good when Clint Capella was there. Not true. When Capella got hurt a month ago, they were 26th in defense. So, the
so
two
they got
things,
better without him.
They actually got better without him. The two things that are most important right now, the next 25 games, the next 2 months, are they need Chris Paul to play like Chris Paul, and they need their defense to be average. If those two things do not happen, then nothing else matters.
And they're banking on Iman Shumpert to be that guy for them, and he's not going to play tonight against the Lakers. He's also not going to play on Saturday night against the Golden State Warriors, which is a bit depressing because I really thought that, okay, maybe these next two games, and specifically Saturday night in Oakland against the Warriors, will tell us a whole lot about whether or not these guys are legit. Because I imagine Golden State, fresh off of the All-Star break, wanting to shake some of the cobwebs off, would probably look at a home matchup against the Rockets on a Saturday night and approach it like it is a playoff game. It's the final stretch of the season. How many more tests do you have like this the rest of the way? And they probably know that the Rockets and Thunder are the only two teams that are actually on their level in the Western Conference. But I do think that these final 25 games, it really is going to determine, Mike, as you just said, like what this team actually is and if they are going to be worth watching in the playoffs. If the defense does not get better, if the defense continues to be what it has been, and if Chris Paul continues to be someone who keeps on getting injured with slight tweaks here and there, yeah, it's going to be basically another lost cause. When last season you were so close, this season you might be pretty far.
The optimist in me wants to, A, point out the obvious contributions of Clint Capella and how much of a difference that's going to make, that there will be a human being out there rebounding. There's rim protection.
You got two guys that can run the pick and roll with Fareed, too, now.
But there's also just the pessimist in me just listens to Mike D'Antoni himself at various times this season where he's been frustrated with, really technical things like effort, desire, caring, like all those things. I'm trying so hard not to get frustrated with them along those lines because sometimes the effort, the desire, all of those things, the energy, that comes when you're also not comfortable with the way you're playing basketball, both on offense and defense. If you got other guys, you've got new guys trying to get into the mix. You're trying to play a switching style of defense while also incorporating new guys that don't know what the hell's going on. That turns into something that looks like lack of effort sometimes because you're so distracted mentally. That's what needs to change over the course of the next several weeks is, okay, it's crunch time. It's desperation time. This is not coast into a 2 or 3 seed like it's been in the past. This is very much fighting to become a team that can actually compete in the playoffs. You don't have LeBron James on this. This isn't going to be LeBron James with the Cleveland Cavaliers where all of a sudden you can just flip a switch. It needs to be something different.
It needs to be something that's flipped over the course of these next 2 months. We're discussing the two most important things for the Rockets, the next 25 games, the last 25 games of the regular season. For me, it's Chris Paul and the defense. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you are incredibly giddy, 1 being you are depressed, what is your confidence level on Chris Paul becoming Chris Paul again?
Actually, 7.5.
7.5?
I saw some signs right before the All-Star break of the old Chris Paul. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what was the game? It was the second to last game before the All-Star break where I saw some Chris Paul things.
So that would have been Dallas?
No, the game before Dallas, I guess.
Oklahoma City, when they lost?
Yes, down the stretch of that game, I thought Chris Paul was doing things that looked like the old Chris Paul.
He had a good game.
Right.
And that made me excited.
Well, I think if you look at kind of his three-point percentage, his free throw percentage, all these things that were very alarming early on in the season, especially his free throws, because then you just knew something was wrong with his elbow or his wrist, that just something wasn't quite right. A lot of that returned in that last 10-game stretch that he played where you feel like, okay, he's shooting more along his historical norms for all these things. Like he's feeling better in terms of his whole body. With a guy like Chris Paul, I try to look at some of these injuries during the regular season almost as a blessing in disguise, is that while the specific joint or injury is healing, the rest of his body is staying healthy and recuperating. And old man that he is, he just needs to be as overall fresh as possible come the playoffs. And,
I mean, for this team to really accomplish its goals,
closet.
So Paul's at a 7.5. I'm at like a 4.8 on confidence level of Chris Paul.
Oh, you've waffled. You're 4.8? That's come on. We got to go a little further in one direction or the other. Come on.
What if I said 4? Is that better?
Like that. Okay. 4.8 is like a 5. Like that's not okay. A take. That's so not a take. That's
right,
a
slight. That's like, yeah, it's like selling 4. Something for $9.99 and yeah. Saying it's okay. Not $10.
So I'm at a 4 in like confidence 4. Level. Okay. Paul's at a 7.5. Where specific? 1 to 10 confidence level.
On Chris Paul.
On Chris Paul getting back to being Chris Paul. 1 to 10, 10 being the highest.
I'm confident. I'm going to give you a 7 that he's going to get back to being normal. The question is, can he sustain it through the playoffs? I'm not doing that. I think come playoff time, like you give the flashes and spells of when he's looked like himself this year. I think the adrenaline kicks in, the playoff savvy kicks in, the experience, all of that. And I'm good with him. It's a matter of can he keep it rolling through all 48 minutes of a game 6 versus the Warriors. I'm not sure about that. I don't know that 1 year older and with a couple more injuries, he's going to be any more durable versus the Warriors in a 7-game series.
We got a texter who says that he has at a 1 on confidence level of CP3 getting back to being CP3.
Right.
And this
comes the problem. Okay, let's say CP3 gets back to where he was.
Yes.
Last year, the Rockets were the only team to take the Kevin Durant Warriors to 7 games in the playoffs. To even put up a fight. Like, the Rockets were the only team to even put up a fight versus the Kevin Durant Warriors since he got to that team. Where are the Rockets, even with if Chris Paul got to exactly where he was last year, where are the Rockets this year compared to that Rockets team?
Based on the defense, I still have to objectively say they're substantially behind.
Right.
And the defense has to get better. It can't get back to where it was last year because I don't think they have the personnel. But if you tell me I've got Chris Paul healthy and Harden playing like this, then I feel like I've got some kind of puncher's chance. And then it depends on how these other guys play. Like even the Iman Shumperts of the world, Capella has to play well when he comes back. He played well in game 7 against Golden State, but it was too little too late.
You know what I would say? The one thing that the Rockets have going for them in terms of preparing for the playoffs this year is that, you know, James Harden always sees a whole bunch of defensive looks, but it seems like this year it's been to the extreme where teams are just throwing everything they can at him. Different in terms of different defenses, different ways of bracketing him, different everything. And he's had to adjust to that and see all of that while the various guys have been out. And that if the narrative you want to be able to say after this playoffs is that, wow, they really got James Harden specifically got battle hardened during that stretch. During that stretch where it was him having to figure out how to do it every single night with different guys who were just simply not capable of actually doing it. And somehow when everything got put back together, it was like he was taking ankle weights off. And when he had Clint Capella as an outlet that he could just lob it up to, when they were getting rebounds, all of a sudden it became that much easier.
That makes sense to me. I mean, they have 25 games to go. One thing that also has to happen is they got to get home court, because if you're not getting home court in the Western Conference playoffs, you are in some trouble. Meltdown coming up at 9:35. There's a misconception about the Texans right now. I have a question for you guys as well. This is something I was thinking about last night. There are a bunch of good things that I have read this week about the Texans offseason. Our buddy Rivers McCown has written what he would do of the offseason. Matt Weston, Battle Red Blog as well. And it got me to thinking about the weapons on offense. Do they need more weapons on offense? And if so, how many? Because I was just thinking about the tight ends, because, you know, Matt threw out the idea that he would cut Ryan Griffin, which I would also do, because I think Ryan Griffin is too dangerous for Bill O'Brien. He is like a weird siren song of not being that good. Great guy, nice guy, but just, I want a better tight end.
I think there's something to be said, though, that Deshaun throws him the ball as much as he does.
I don't want
does
that
Deshaun
either.
Does Deshaun have a little bit of faith in him?
Siren song for Bill. Siren song for Deshaun Watson. I need him out because of that. I need him out. But I like these tight ends, actually. I like Jordan Akins. I like Jordan Thomas.
Well, they don't need more weapons. They need more healthy weapons. You have Will Fuller. You have Kiki QT.
Yeah, you have plenty.
The problem with looking at this roster is the weapons are rarely available to you, like across the board. those right there, you should have a pretty good receiving core. There's a whole lot of speed there. I mean, man, you've got DeAndre Hopkins, who's lethal at the mid-range. You've got Will Fuller, who'll take the top off of defense. You've got Kiki Kuti, who's rounding into a very efficient pass catcher. Like, all those things should be good. They're just never out there.
Yeah, you're basically a werewolf waiting for a full moon.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, really.
You just wait.
Unless all those situations are just right, for the most part, they're quite mediocre.
You're Dr. Jekyll most of the time when you need to be Mr. Hyde.
And I think with that, they need a backup receiver who is actually durable.
What does a backup? So, what am I arguing for? More weaponry, but a backup receiver.
Well, what about running back?
Running back, hell yeah, because you need. There is no such thing as a backup running back. You need two running backs, and Alfred Blue was the guy they chose to. Why? Why?
I know.
I don't.
I know.
Like, of all the guys, you let him go to free agency. Yeah. He sat out there on free agency.
Nobody wanted him.
Nobody wanted him. There's other guys out there, and for whatever reason, you bring him back. He's good on special teams, and the special teams was good last year. Good job. But that was – or you thought that Deontay Foreman, a guy who I'm guessing you might have had red flags about his work ethic to begin with, that somehow he was going to come back after an Achilles tendon surgery?
Yes.
Achilles tendon surgery and be your next best option at running back, yeah.
It's possible that both Deontay is at fault for not getting in really good shape,
right,
and the Texans are still at fault because it's such a damaging injury to a young running back where there's not a lot of precedent for what that's going to look like.
Right. I think if Deontay Foreman was the hardest worker on earth, if he was basically like a John Henry or something, it wouldn't matter. You shouldn't depend on a guy who's coming off an Achilles tendon surgery.
Agreed.